Well, good morning. Good to be with you this morning. We are going to be talking about one of the ordinances of the church. How many of you guys have ever gone to a wedding or have participated in it? You stood in a wedding. Most of us, right? We've been there, we've hung out, and it's something good. And there's something really cool about going, and when you're connected to those people, when they're your friends or they're your family members, and when people are getting married, it's really great when you get married. It's one of these incredible experiences. I want you to think back to the best wedding that you've ever been to. So what made that wedding awesome? Maybe you knew the people really well, and maybe the guy cried, and it was good, and there's emotion there, there's this connection that's happening. God is bringing something together in this perfect union that He's ordained, and it's just this beautiful thing when you get to witness something that God is doing in people's life. People come to witness the union. For most people, prior to that, though, something has happened. Prior to them walking up on the stage and saying their vows, exchanging the rings, there's something that's happened. And they probably have met prior to that, hopefully. They've fallen in love, and they're willing to commit their lives to that other person. I've had the privilege of doing many weddings, and every wedding that I've ever done or have attended, there's this common theme. The theme is this: there's two people are committing to each other that they're going to be on each other's team. That's what they're doing. Every time I've been to a wedding or have performed a wedding, they're saying, hey, I'm with this person. We're connected together. How many of you have been married for 10 years? Do we have anybody on the 15? Give a few. 20? 30? 40? Whoa. 50? Hey, wow, that's great. Let's give these guys a hand. 50 years, that's good. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you remember that day?
Yeah.
Because it's the day that you committed publicly to the other person to be on their team. Today we want to talk about another public ceremony, and that's been given to us by God. It's a gift that is given to us to publicly commit to a lifetime of being on Jesus' team. It's one of these rites that God has given to us to proclaim this, and it's called baptism. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, all authority, and this is Jesus speaking, He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so the very first thing it says, go. What are we going to do? We're going to proclaim the good news. We're going to proclaim the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, that he came. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead so that we could have this restored relationship to God. That God came to us, we couldn't go to him, and that's what we proclaim. And it says, we proclaim the gospel, we make disciples. Those are the people that are following Jesus, accepting him as their savior, recognizing that they need a savior, and then what do? We baptize them. And what they're doing is publicly saying, I'm on Jesus' team. And then it goes on, it says, and we continue to disciple, and we continue to learn more, and we continue to figure out how to walk with Jesus. We often think of baptism, or maybe you've been taught that baptism is just being like obedient to Christ. He told us to do this, and so we do this. And that's true. It's an act of obedience. It's something that we're supposed to do. But it is really a gift from God. It's a gift that when we enter into the waters of baptism, there's this public display that we're on Jesus' team. It's a right that he has given to us that we can say we're on his team. That God has given to us this ability to put on the Jesus jersey. Think about it this way. Some of you are probably wondering, why is this guy wearing a Lions jersey? They're horrible, and I know that, just so you're aware. I know that. They did not make the playoffs. But they're still my team. I've loved the Lions since I was a little kid. I had an Eric Hipple jersey. He was the quarterback for the Lions in the 80s. He threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns, but I still loved him. And I wear the jersey proudly. I know they're not good. They did win the Loser Bowl this year, right? And they played the Green Bay Packers, and they beat them 31-0. So I wear this jersey wanting you to know that I am a Lions fan, and I don't care who knows it. Baptism is your spiritual God-given right to wear the Jesus jersey. You are saying, hey, I love Jesus. I'm on Jesus' team. I love Jesus because he first loved me. And I have the right to wear this jersey of baptism. It has been given to me by God. Baptism is a gift from God. It is our jersey. When we enter into the waters of baptism, what we're saying is I'm on Jesus' team. And I want people to know whose team I'm on and what's happened inside of my life, what's happened through what Jesus has done for me. In Galatians, it says that for all of you who were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. It's a picture of baptism. Before you put on the jersey, before you put on the Jesus jersey in baptism, something has happened to us pre-ceremony, pre-putting on the jersey, pre-going into the waters of baptism. What has happened is you were saved. You responded to the gospel. Baptism, in one sense, is similar to a wedding. And a wedding where you say, I love and I commit my life to the other person. Most people, prior to making that commitment, prior to walking on the stage and doing this, they love that other person. They want to be with that other person. That happens pre-ceremony, pre-wedding. It doesn't happen during the ceremony. Or hopefully it doesn't just happen during the ceremony, right? And so it becomes this celebration of what already has taken place. You, when you were baptized, there was some pre-work that happens before you ever put the jersey on. You understood that you had a need for a Savior. You understood your standing before God. In Romans chapter 3, it talks about this. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And so everyone who has come to faith in Jesus has come, they become conscious of their sin. When it talks about law there, think Ten Commandments, a little more than that. But those things point us that, hey, we are not righteous. We have not followed the law. And it makes us aware that there is sin, which what sin does, the byproduct of sin, it breaks the relationship with God. And so it's telling us there that we are separated from God. It goes on in verse 21, and it says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. That's a lot of words, but just a couple of them that I want to kind of point out to you this morning. One is justified. We are justified through our faith in Jesus Christ. What he did for us on the cross, the blood that was shed for us, for the remission of sin, we're justified through our faith in that. God declares the person to not be guilty. And he declares them to be righteous because God no longer sees our sin. He sees Jesus instead. How are you declared righteous? It's through Jesus, what he did on the cross, and through believing in us. And every person who is saved has this understanding that they're a man or a woman in need of a Savior, that they've sinned against a holy God. They have not kept all the decrees, and they are a person who needs a Savior. Let me give you a little faith graph here to help us understand that. So we have faith in Jesus, right? We believe in him. We obey and we believe. And in Romans, it says that if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, we will be saved. What are we confessing with our mouth? Jesus is Lord. That's what we're confessing. We're saying, hey, he's the one that God sent. He's the one. And that he died on the cross. He was absolutely perfect, without blemish. He died for us on the cross. We believe he is the Lord. That's what we're confessing with our mouth. And then what we're believing in our heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus literally died. He died for our sins. And we believe this in our hearts. In Romans, and this is the scriptural portion of it, in Romans chapter 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So what we see here is sometimes when we think of heart, we think of it in kind of the emotional kind of part of it, like the emotional affection type of a thing. But in biblical terms, it includes those things that we love Jesus, we believe in Jesus, and there's an emotional connection, but it's also an intellectual connection. It's the whole person that believes and understands this, that you say, hey, Jesus is Lord, and he really did come back to life. He really did defeat death. And you believe that Jesus is the Lord and God raised him from the dead. Because your faith in Jesus and what he did, it washes away your sin. This is what 1 John 1:7 says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And so what is it telling us here? It is telling us that our sins are no longer held against us. We're free. This is all pre-baptism. Baptism does not save you. It's an incredible ceremony that represents your union with Christ. Baptism is this ceremony of what has happened inside of you. Baptism is this outward visible sign of an inward change that God has produced or God has done. Through it, we announce publicly the importance to all believers and our own initial public confession of faith. That's what baptism is. That Jesus is important. I'm on Jesus' team. It's very much like a wedding ceremony. It's ordained by God. Jesus told us to do this, right? He said, hey, this is a good thing. And you do it out of obedience. But I think that God gave baptism to us not just to demonstrate our obedience, but it's a meaningful oath of fidelity. It is this jersey that we put on in that moment that, hey, I am on Jesus' team. Baptism is a day to be remembered. Your baptism is a day to be remembered. Through this, I believe that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it admonishes us to live in on Jesus' team. He strengthens us for the task of following our Lord. That's what I believe baptism does for us. Putting on the jersey is this physical acting out of the gospel. And so I'm going to give you a kind of an image from the scripture of that. And it's found in Romans chapter 6. And it's a little bit of reading here. But just hang with me. And you'll see some pictures and some representation of what baptism is in the pictures and the signs of it. Or do you not know, this is verse 3, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, going into the water. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life that's coming out of the water. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ has raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives for God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is found in Romans, and very easily, there's this beautiful picture, right? Like, you have this Jesus, he's dying, and we have this picture of us going into the grave of water, and then we're coming out of the grave. We're being resurrected, in a sense. And you're resurrected into this new life in Christ. You're the dead to sin, alive to Christ. It's the picture that baptism gives. In this passage, you could really quickly and easily go, well, that's what baptism does. And so we talk about this. We talk about this idea of larger context. And this is part of understanding Scripture and understanding kind of the meta-narrative, the large story of Scripture. The book of Romans doesn't support that. In this, you could go, oh, baptism in the first verse that I read. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? It's this symbol of this thing. And so in the wider context of Romans, I think it would be a mistake to say that water baptism is a means of us being united to Christ. In Romans, faith is the means by which we are connected to Christ. And that's over and over. Read the book of Romans. It's over and over and over again in there. And so, but what happens is that we're united to Christ, we're justified, our sins are no longer held against us, but we show this faith, we say this faith and signify this faith and symbolize this faith with the act of baptism. It's this putting on of the jersey. It's, I'm on Jesus' team. Faith unites us to Christ. Baptism symbolizes the union. An analogy would be, none of us would say, because you have a ring on, you are married, right? It doesn't work like that. But your ring, your wedding ring, symbolizes that you are married to that person, that you are on that person's team. That's what baptism does. It's a putting on. It's this covenant, understanding that I'm on Jesus' team. So we focus really on the symbolism of what happens in baptism. We focus on that we're united in him, in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And so the imagery of baptism is death, burial, and resurrection. It's the story of redemption, right? You have the fall in Genesis, and then you have all of these things of God leading up to redemption, to Jesus coming. And so there's this connection to who Jesus is. You have creation, fall, redemption, consummation in the Scripture. Those are the four major parts of Scripture. And in this picture, you have Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's our redemption. It's our connection to him. And then what it says is that Jesus, he can't die again. He defeated death. Satan could not kill Jesus again. He cannot do it. In the same way, you are dying to your sins and you're alive in Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful symbol. There's other symbols that kind of point back to being on Jesus' team. In the Old Testament, it talks about the Noah's Ark in the waters there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built? So Noah's there. People are making fun of him. Why are you building this ark, you crazy man? And he builds this thing and nobody's getting on there with him. And it's only a few people, eight in all, who were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. But the removal of dirt, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what it's saying here, and what it's symbolizing here, is that, you know, the people, there are eight that got on the boat, right? That's it. The eight placed their faith, walked on the boat. God shut the door in the story, and no one else could get on, right? And it says that baptism is much like this in the sense that we're saying we're getting on the boat with Jesus. We're getting on the boat with Jesus. We're putting our hope. They put their hope in God, didn't they? That he was going to save them as they walked onto that ark. When we go into the waters of baptism, what we're saying is we're putting our hope in Jesus. Baptism was given to us by our Lord Jesus himself as a way of publicly saying that we have put on the jersey of Jesus. We're married to Jesus. It's a way of saying that we got on the rescue boat of Jesus. Let me talk about the team and the jersey. If you're on a team and you have a jersey, you're a part of the collective. You're a part of the larger part of that. In the same way, when you are baptized, you're baptized into the team. You're baptized as someone who is a follower of Jesus, a part of the local assembly, a part of what God is doing. This is a shift from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they had a marker that was given to them by God. It was only for men, it was ethnically driven, and it was called circumcision, and it happened on the eighth day. And that was the marker that was given. This is a covenant between them and God, that God was their God, right? And so in the New Testament, this is a new covenant in my blood. Right? There's this new covenant that happens, and the new covenant, the marker of the new covenant is baptism. It's baptism. This is good news, because it's not just for Jewish people, Jewish males. It's for all nations. It's for all people. It's for male. It's for female. And it's a marker that I've put on the jersey of Jesus. It's membership in this new covenant of God's people. It's not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth that happens. And that spiritual birth, it doesn't happen through the waters of baptism. It happens through the Word of God penetrating your heart, right? It's through the Spirit of God moving in your life. And that's that pre-baptism, that pre-ceremony thing that happens. 1 Peter 1:18 talks about this. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We talked about this last week when we talked about communion. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, this is the truth that God raised Jesus from the dead, so that you have sincere love for each other, love for one another deeply from your heart. This is a byproduct of faith. It's like if someone says, this is salvation, we just love each other. That's no. You love Jesus, the byproduct of that is that we love one another. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, verse 23, but imperishable, through the living, enduring Word of God. And so, therefore, the church, because of this, the church should be composed not of believers and infants. That's the old covenant, right? The people of Israel believed in God. And they were marked through the covenant of circumcision. And they marked their male children through that. That's not how it works anymore. You were born again through the preaching of the Word of God, through hearing the Word of God, it penetrating your heart and you going, oh, holy smokes, I'm a man or a woman in need of a Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And so a sign of membership into this new covenant of people is not a sign for infants, but it's a sign for believers. So we can see how the meaning of baptism is woven together in really membership into the church, into God's people. And since the early church, it's an expression that people were baptized. It's closely connected to their membership. So in Acts, we just went through this stuff. So you guys shouldn't remember this stuff. What happens? People believe, and what happens? They're baptized. It was never disconnected. It was, man, God did this in my life. I recognize who Jesus is. And then I go to waters of baptism. It happens very quickly all through the book of Acts. It happened. They're not disconnected. It's the yin and the yang. It's the outward symbol of what has already happened in their lives. That God had changed their hearts. And they're a new covenant people. If you tried to pluck out this idea in membership, and you said, well, if you come to church, you should be a member, and it doesn't matter if you believe or you don't believe, or you're not baptized or you are baptized. You know, everyone's just a member of church, right? That would be so foreign to them. They would not have any concept of that. It was believe, baptize, members. I'm a member of the local church. I'm connected to the local church, the local representation of the body of Christ. They belong together. And so I want to encourage you, baptism is important. It's not just something, maybe I should do, maybe I shouldn't do. The early church would never have thought of it that way. It was commanded by Jesus. It's a step of obedience. Universally administered by the early church. Universally. And it's uniquely connected to conversion. And it's an unrepeatable expression of saving faith. Baptism connects us to the body of Christ, his people on earth. Baptism is in a real sense, it is being joined with other believers. And so I know a lot of us are Americans and we like our individual faith, our privatized faith and all of that stuff. And really what it says is, like, this isn't just a journey for me, it's a journey for us. I'm saying, I'm in it with you, I'm in it to win it, I'm putting the jersey on. Just like a football team or a basketball team or a volleyball team. It's like, we're in this thing together, we're doing this thing together, we're believing in Jesus together, and it's a beautiful thing. One of the things that people, I think, get confused on is that the church, when you come, We're in this thing together, and the reality is, and if you're honest, we all have the capacity to walk away from Jesus at times, don't we? Let's just be honest about that. We do. And one of the beautiful protections of the church, when you're a member of the church, is we're saying, hey, come on back. Come on. This is what the Word of God says. Just come on back. Gently, kindly as we can. And there's a covering over you in your spirit. You don't do this alone. You do this together. And that's partially what baptism does. It says, hey, I'm joined. I'm with you. I put the jersey on. Another thing, when we do baptisms, I love doing baptisms. One of my favorite things to do, because you hear this incredible testimony of what God has done. And then we get to dunk these people, and we get to remember our own baptism, right? And we're connected to this thing, and we're connected into this incredible gift that God has given us. Baptism is an incredible gift. It's an incredible gift. Because what it does is we put the jersey on, but we also get to see, hey, God's at work. He's joining people to the team. They're coming to follow him. They're coming to be obedient to him. If you've never been baptized, I want to challenge you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should be baptized. You might say, well, I was baptized as an infant. And you know what? I'm so glad, really, that your parents said, hey, this is a good thing for you. And there's a certain amount of grace that's been bestowed upon you. It was a really good step of faith for your parents to do that, and they're doing that for you, and that's a good thing. But I'd like to at least have a conversation about you putting on the jersey of Jesus instead of your parents dressing you in the jersey of Jesus. And we have a class coming up on February 3rd. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll, you know, if you have questions about this, if you have questions about baptism, what does that look like? Should I do this? Should I do that? Come to the class and just hang out with us. There's not, like, if you come to the class, we're not going to, like, jam you in the water or anything like that. That's a promise. We're going to heat up the hot tub on February 24th. Church, you should be there. We should celebrate this together. There are going to be people baptized, and we should do this together. And so on February, mark that off on your calendar. Say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to celebrate with God's people what he's doing. Because it's a picture of what God has done. And these people are joining the team. They're putting the Jesus jersey on publicly. It's already happened individually in the quietness of their hearts. But there's this public display. It's them getting their jersey. And so we want to celebrate that with them. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for baptism. We thank you for the beauty, the symbolism. We thank you. But we're so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for that we're connected to him, that we're in union with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. God, we're so thankful that we're justified through him, that we find righteousness in him. He is the hero of the story, and we're thankful for him, and we want to praise his name today. In Jesus' name, amen.